So tonight, I'm looking forward to sharing something with you that I feel if you could understand this and receive it, it'll really bless your heart. It'll really set some truth that God's Word shares that will be very foundational but very important for your lives. And I'm going to share about the family. You know, you see it on TV, you hear about it in movies, you read it in books, and for the most part, when it gets to the end of the story or the play or the movie, they say family is everything. You know, it always gets back to the family. It's the ultimate. Everything is done for the good of the family. No matter if they're mafia, the family counts, right? Or whoever, right? I mean, it's ingrained in our life, the family. And it is amazing how we forget this sometimes, because the family is the foundation of life. And it's true in every culture, every nation, no matter what religion, no matter what language they speak, family is the most important thing. And everybody gets back to that. Everyone realizes that the family is what makes life worth living. Family is the cornerstone of man's existence. And I believe God has ingrained this into the thinking of every human being. And we even see it in the animal world, where there's families within the different animals, from the monkeys and the elephants and everything else, the wolves. There's just this family presence that makes all the difference in their culture. And that family is a father and a mother and children together. And it's the foundation of life. It's really the foundation of life. What I would like to do to share this with you and to build this importance of the family, I want to share two examples with you. How vital the basic family is to living life. Now, many sports, this is number one, many sports enthusiasts would agree that the most dramatic sports event ever played was when a young USA Olympic hockey team made up of young college all-stars beat the most dominant professional Russian team in the 1980 Olympics. The game was billed the greatest moment in history. Now, some of you maybe remember that, and there's a movie about it, The Miracle. Coach Herb Brooks had to take a bunch of college all-stars and build them into a unit that would believe that they could win. And during this task in preparing for the Olympic Games, he did something quite unusual, because he already picked his team. They've been practicing, working together, becoming a unit. And all of a sudden, he introduces a new player. He brings a new player and throws him out there. And this really upset everybody on the team there. Why is this new player? So a couple of the leaders on the team came to the coach and said, "Coach, why are you doing this? We worked so hard, now you're putting someone out there?" And the coach argued, and he challenged them, "Well, why not? If he could play better than those that are already on the team, why not?" And one of the players spoke up, and he said, "You know what's important to us?" And he said, "We are a family. We are a family. We've busted our butts off playing together, and to introduce a new member would upset our family." And the coach said, "Okay, I agree with you." Of course, this he had this all along in his thinking, and he wanted to do this just to strengthen their resolve to play together as a team and as a family. Now, how many times have you heard when we're talking about sports, where some team wins the Super Bowl or the World Series, and they interview them, and they say, well, we were good because we're a family, we're tight, we're a team, we play together. I mean, you hear that all the time, this idea that we're a unit together, working together as a family. Now, another example I want to share with you of the value of the family, I want to share with you in light of a very most controversial subject in our day, racism. Wouldn't you say racism? Pretty controversial right now, right?
Yeah.
Pretty heavy stuff. You know, the physical and the mental damage that's going on is horrific. And it's a huge topic, and many people have different views about it. But I've seen a couple interviews where black men that are Christian men, and this is their take on it. They say that the biggest problem is that many black men grow up in broken families. In fact, many of them don't have fathers. They're single parents, brought up with single parents, and most of the time it's their mom. And they never have the opportunity to have a father figure. And many times when they do have a father figure, he's not too good. And that's what they say needs to help this situation, is to get the family unit back together. That would resolve everything. So the family is really important. Father and mother working together works best, especially if they're Christians and they're believing God's word. There's no way of getting around it. God's design is a family, is a family. And this is the design God wants to use in his relationship with us. It's not like he wants us to be a member of his church or his organization. No, he wants us to be a child in his family, and he wants to be our father. Now, there's an enlightening book that beautifully portrays God's heart and desire for a family life with people, and it's this book here, The Father and His Family, by E.W. Kenyon. And I'd like to share some quotes from this book, and I think he really hits it on the nail. The entire plan of redemption is a revelation of the heart hunger and loneliness of the great Father God. The first step in this stupendous drama of creation was God's dream and his blueprints of man's beautiful house. No prospective husband father ever dreamed more ardently of the home nest than did the Father God dream over the contemplated home of his child, the human. So he took ages on ages to build an earth home, to store it with treasures that only his mind could conceive and his power create. After he had perfected an earth, he placed the stars and the sun, the moons, and wonderful constellations throughout space. And to each of these seen as well as unseen worlds, he fastened the earth by the invisible cords of gravitation. Each star and constellation is held in its place by the word of his power, and each one has a regular course marked out over which it travels. Each star and planet, each constellation and group has its own office work to perform for the earth, God's wonderful home for his human, his child, his family. In another section of the book titled The Family Fact, Christianity is not a religion. It is a family, a father and his children. It differs from all the religions in the world in this aspect. It is not a creed, nor a set of doctrines, nor a body of ethics. creeds have been made out of it. Laws have been made out of it. Doctrines have been formulated from its teachings, and the world's best ethics have been its products. They are all part of it, segments of the great family fact. The genius of Christianity is that it's God. Its God is the great family God of the universe. Christianity is not a science any more than your family is a science, but it's based upon scientific facts. Christianity is not a philosophy, but it is the revelation of the divine human relationships. Christianity is not a theology. It is the reality of man's redemption and union with God. All right, and a couple more here. The reason for man. If the earth is the reason for the heavens, and man is the reason for the earth, what is the reason for man? There is but one answer, and it's very simple. The lonely heart of the great Father God. God's heart yearns for children, craves sons and daughters. He had angels to minister to him as servants, but he wanted children. So he spent with love's wonderful patience, age on age, in the preparation of the earth and the heavens for his man. If this is true, and true it is, then man is the most wonderful being. If God so wanted man and so loved man that he spent millions of years in preparation for him, what a place that man must hold in his heart, in his dreams, in his eternity. And finally, the nature of man. We believe that God's heart is the reason not only for creation, but for creation's crown, man. And then he quotes Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love, having foreordained us unto sonship of sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. In other words, before the foundation of the world, he purposed a family, and man is the answer to that purpose. Pretty heavy stuff, huh? But I get it. I get it. It's so foundational, so basic. It's so God. Christianity is not a religion, but what? A family. It's a family, a relationship of a family. Jesus Christ is the key to getting into the family. He is what? The way, the truth, and the life. Anybody that gets to the Father comes by me, Jesus Christ. And when a person believes in their heart, Romans 10:9, where they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, they're saved. That means they're saved from death. They are saved from death to eternal life. Pretty good deal what God has done to get his family organized and set up. Well, there's a few more quotes that I want to share because I think he really knows how to communicate the Father and his family. Here's one. The primal dream of the Creator God was a family of sons and daughters on whose love and response his spirit, his heart nature could feed. Another one. We are God's family representatives on the earth. We are not Methodists, we're not Baptists, Episcopalians, or Roman Catholics, but we are God's sons and daughters, God's family. Doesn't that nail that? That's the simplicity of it, but the true reality of it. He goes on to say, as members of the family, we are to minister to each other and watch over each other in love. And he quotes Ephesians 2:19. So then, ye are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. And then one more here. God does not want to be simply a guest in our home. God desires to live with his children. He wants to have a father's place in our lives and hearts. Pretty neat, huh? Yeah, that's fantastic. The heart and passion of the Lord Jesus Christ is reflected in Revelations 3:20, where it says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. That's the connection that we have. You see, we were born again into God's family. Jesus Christ, he made it available. But the word says we are joint heirs with him, right? He's our brother. God created man to be his eternal companion. You can fellowship with the Father because you have his righteousness in you. You know, God is righteous. But you are righteous too, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says, He's made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we have God's righteousness in us because of what Jesus Christ did. So what is our response to this reality of being in the family and God being our Father? You know, what do we do for this? What's our response in light of making us his child and giving us his righteousness? Well, there's one beautiful section in God's Word in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, that I think really tells what we should do. So Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14, For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Whoa! I mean, that is huge. That we can know this great love of God in all the dimensions, so that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. Amazing. And then verse 20 is just a mind blower. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh where?
In us.
We have that power in us to do these great things, whereby God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. See, this is our Father. We've got to get our thinking up, our believing up, because God's our Father. And if he's our Father, hey, our Father does some great things, right? He's already done some fantastic stuff. So that's why we should go to our Father. We were encouraged in the manifestations to go to the Father. We hear that a lot in manifestations. And I think it's because we really don't believe it. I don't think we really believe that God can do great things for us, so we don't go to him. Well, keep knocking on his door, you know, speaking in tongues. Boy, that spirit, when you speak in tongues, Man, oh man, that's spirits. That spiritual prayer, right? You're speaking not unto men, but unto God. You're praising Him. You're giving Him thanks well. It's a wonderful tool. And then verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Well, amen and amen, because that really settles it, I think. It really does. We just got to remember that we're His masterpiece, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And in 1 Corinthians 1, 9, it says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. He has called us, so we can fellowship with Him. Now, hopefully you can see God's heart now, right? Mm-hmm. For you and me, we are in His family. We are family, right? That song? Da, 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 da. Okay? Hey, we are His family. God's our Father. Awesome, isn't it? Fantastic. So all we need to do here is renew our minds to what the Word of God says, right? Jeffrey taught about the renewed mind Monday night. Beautiful job. And so we just want to walk for Him, believing that we're in the family of God, and God is our Father. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. So that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. God bless you. All right. Well, bless your hearts, everyone. Thank you for being with us tonight on the conference call fellowship. And we've got a wonderful group right here tonight. We get to have refreshments as we say goodbye to you all. So let me take you off of mute and we can say goodbye and good night.
What was the name of that book again?
Oh.
The Father and His Family by E.W. Kenyon.
Okay. Yeah, he has a definite way with words.
Oh, boy. Uh-huh. Yes, he does.
That's great. Well,
okay.
Thank you.
Speaking of words, John Boy here.
Oh,
from
okay.
Jeannie. From Jeannie we learned, afraid or not, go forth and go forward with trust in your heart for God. Bob taught about the red thread of the family. Since the beginning, all over this earth, it's been God's blueprint, God's imprint, God's thumbprint, God's desire, and God's grand design for us all. Family, God's ultimate crowning yearning. Knock, knock, who's there? God's here with and for His family. Thank you, Bob. Enjoy the rest of your fellowship with everybody there, okay?
You will.
Bless you up. Bless you all.
Hey, bless you.
Good night.
All right.
Good night, Jan.
I have a bad book, too.